and with his presence in our midst, and we'll have one Father. Praise God, and we'll all be brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers in the Lord in eternity. And in that relationship, there will be eternal happiness. There will be no family problems, no family fusses. There will be no death. There will be no separation. And God has something worked out and planned for us that the eye has not seen or the ear heard and the heart can't comprehend, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But through the Spirit, he's revealed to us that they are existent. And we press toward them with confidence and trust that God only can love that good, and we can't comprehend the love of God. That's like that big song, The Love of God. With ink the ocean fill, and where the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every scribe a man by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. It's the saints and angels' song. Praise God. We don't understand. We only get a little bit of the love of God. We get a measure, or Paul has words that he uses for it. I was trying to think of one of the other words he uses for having a part of the love of God. We have a measure of it. It's like the Holy Ghost. We get the Holy Ghost by measure. And after all, Romans 5:5 said it's the Holy Ghost that sheds the love of God in our hearts. We get a measure of the Holy Ghost, and we get a measure of the love. But one day we'll get in a sea of love with our loved ones that's gone on before and behind us. We're not coming back to bless them. We're not coming back to aggravate them. We're not coming back to do anything for God or man. What we do, we've got to take advantage of the time that God has given us. David said, let me remember how short my days are. In Psalm 90, he expresses it again. That's a beautiful expression. It may not have been David that wrote that particular Psalm 90. But the Bible, in the top of the book, it says that Moses wrote that psalm. But anyway, it says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth. Forever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered. That's the way our life is. It's short, it's brief, it's uncertain. It's like a vapor. Let's go on down here in verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. When your life is over, it's like somebody telling a story. Once upon a time, there was a man upon the earth. His name was Ray Pringle. And here's his record that he left behind. There's nothing I can do about that record. It stands forever. Your record's going to stand. Your children's going to talk about you, either for good or for worse. They're either going to praise you or curse your memory. They're either going to bless you or they're going to just be silent because they don't want to talk about how bad their ancestors were. But I tell you, when you go through life, you've used your time up as you go on down here in verse 12 in Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Thank God. And I'll tell you, we need to apply our hearts unto wisdom. David, the great psalmist, he wrote also in 1 Chronicles 29, in verse 13, he said, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Everything we got, you gave it to us. For we're strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. We're just like a shadow that passes by. It's so brief. It's done in such a hurry that you look back and you think, well, where in the world did I spend all those years that I've had birthdays to manifest the fact that I've been here so many years on this planet? Where did they go? He said, O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee and house for thine holy name cometh of thine own hand and is all thine own. David spent his lifetime preparing for something wonderful and great for God and his people. He never spent his life in vain. He was out there having those wars. He didn't understand why he had to fight all the time. But through that fighting, he was taking gold and silver in abundance to prepare for the great temple of God that was to be built in Jerusalem. And when he got ready to die, in fact, in the same book, 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter, verse 14, he says, Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold. That's a million. 100,000 there. And then 1,000 talents of silver. 1,000,000 talents of silver. 100,000 talents of gold. And of brass and iron without weight. For it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared that thou mayest add thereto. And now when he's ready to die, in 1 Chronicles 29 again, verses 3 and 4, moreover, because he's talking to Solomon, because I've set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Now this is taken out of what David received for being king and leader of God's people. Now that other, he didn't take nothing out of that. That was all belong. It all belonged to God. He said, now here's an offering from me, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses therein. My, my, my. There he is telling these people of God and Solomon. Then he stood up and blessed the congregation. And now he gives just a little bit more. He's praying in verses 18 and 19. He said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments. Praise God. A perfect heart to keep thy commandments and thy testimonies and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. I've spent my whole lifetime not in vain. I prepared to build this magnificent temple for the Lord. And Solomon, my son, here's the provision I've spent my lifetime for. He didn't leave Solomon a legacy of wealth. Solomon got his wealth on his own through the blessing of God on his life. Spoiling a silly old youngin' or somebody, leaving them a legacy. Let God bless them. If he blessed you to get it, then make him get blessed, or don't leave him nothing. Praise God. Or your lifetime is spent in vain, leaving it for a fool to spend after your departure. We can shorten our days, or we can lengthen our days by not being foolish and letting God have his way in our life. In the 7th chapter of Ecclesiastes, beginning in verse 16, God said, Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Don't be foolish and shorten your days. Be wise and lengthen your days, so God will have a great and wonderful purpose in leaving you here, even beyond your 70. Psalm 90 and 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is there